On this episode of the Dudes and Dads podcast, we talk with our friend Nick Kiefer about business and community engagement.
Joel.
Andrew.
How are you doing?
Well, here's the deal. What's the current score of the Bears game right now? Does anybody have an update for me? What's going on?
It was 10-10 last time I saw.
10-10. Okay.
All right.
That's apparently all that's important in this northern hemisphere of Indiana.
Is still 10-10.
Still 10-10. Right. Okay. Still 10-10.
And that's why we have a production assistant.
Yeah, that's right. To check the important things as we're going. And we're going to find out if the Bears actually moved to Gary, Indiana. That's what we're also waiting to see. A while ago, I've been like, it'll be a cold day and you know where when the Bears move to Gary, Indiana.
Have you looked at the temperature tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
It's cold tomorrow. Ooh.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Dudes and Dads podcast.
Glad hey, Joel.
To have you along. Yeah, what's up?
You know how I normally plug the voicemail and all that stuff? I'm plugging something 100% analog today.
Tell me about it.
So we now have a P.O. box.
We do.
Yeah, Dudes and Dads.
You can write a letter to us.
Or send us stuff.
That's more important. More important, if you want to send us stuff, first of all, because we've gotten stuff from like other podcasts, for instance, our fellow podcasters out there that like to share the merch, which we love when that happens.
Right. So instead of giving out my home address,
which is dangerous.
You can now,
because last time you did, Mark showed up. It was really awkward. Yeah. And I
left.
Dudes and Dads, P.O. Box 86.
Oh.
Millersburg, Indiana, 46543.
And guys, if you've never been to Millersburg, Indiana, listen, you join millions of people who haven't. And let me just say, though, you can send mail there.
We do have a post office.
They do receive mail in Millersburg, Indiana. Okay, so fantastic. We have an official mailing address. Yeah. Glad we're keeping it on the up and up. Hey, everybody, welcome. Glad to have each and every one of you along for the ride. Glad to have this conversation. It's going to be a good time. I always enjoy when I just get to sit down with folks that I talk to on a regular basis out in the community. And this is really like this is my selfish way, Andy. This is how I feel about it. Sometimes I'm like, I would just like to have a concentrated conversation with somebody. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get them on the show. And they're going to be a captive audience.
I'm trapped.
Yeah. There's no other. Exactly. Nick, you will answer all my questions. It's going to be a great conversation. I think it's going to be varied and interesting. And as always, we're going to talk about the things that are important to us as dudes and dads and family stuff and work stuff and all of that. But before we do, we also want to send a big thank you to our friends at Everence. Support for the Dudes and Dads podcast comes from Everence Federal Credit Union, helping you make everyday banking needs with member focused savings and loan options. Learn more at everence.com/banking. Credit union products are federally insured by NCUA.
They are.
Okay. What else, Andy? Anything else going on? What's going on in life with you?
I'm just preparing for the snow and cold.
Oh my goodness.
I don't like it. I'm ready. You know what I'm ready for, Joel?
Let's talk about it.
Florida. February.
Florida in February.
You podcasting on the beach?
Yeah. No.
Oh. Wouldn't that be something?
That would be something.
You know, let's look into that.
We're mobile. We can do that.
Mid-February is the time for me personally. That is when I'm running out of patience for it.
Just everything.
Just everything, okay. But particularly the weather that is here. And that's why, our friends at Avana Network, their annual pastor spouse retreat. So glad for that. I'm tagging along for it this year. Going to really enjoy it. Down in sunny Bradenton /Sarasota, mid-February.
We had a thing literally this morning fall into our lap and booked a trip to Aruba.
Oh man.
2 weeks.
Yeah. Stop it.
Yeah. So
you got a lot to be excited for.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I did a report on Aruba in sixth grade and it was underwhelming. And so Nick will have an opportunity to really fill me in on all the good things about Aruba. Maybe Nick could do a remote fake history for me from Aruba. There we go. And I should say a big thank you to the crew, everybody that's been supporting Fake History with Joel over the last little while. If some of you know, I made a trip to the Upper Peninsula, got a couple of new installments in, and it was a super fun time. Honestly, Andy, that was just what that was. That was a trip that I take with my dad now. This is the second year we've done this in the winter. And I think I'll just say it this way. My dad still, when I say at his age, I mean, he's 69 years old. He enjoys cross-country skiing.
Mm-hmm.
And our weather here is a little bit, it could go either way if you can cross-country ski.
Right.
You might be able to, may not be able to. So we want to guarantee that he can go cross-country skiing. So we go up to the Upper Peninsula. My mom does not like to take this trip. And so, but she does not want my father taking it by himself, you know, skiing out in the wilderness by himself,
sure,
you know, unattended. So
you get to go.
I chaperone, I get us the Airbnb. I kind of schedule the sites. I get a little sense of what's around. There's some really great, fantastic trails up that way. The NTN, is a trail network up there that, cross country trails by winter. Running trails and mountain bike trails by summertime.
Interesting.
That's cool. And it's a great team of volunteers that do trail upkeep and everything. It's just gorgeous up there, whether it be winter or summer. So we're checking out in the greater Marquette area. So that's what we did, Andy. You've done anything exciting?
No.
No cross-country skiing for you?
I don't do the cross-country skiing.
That's okay.
I stay in and sip warm tea.
That's right. Yeah, that's what I do. I dropped my dad off and I was like, I'm going to a coffee house and
I'll see you later.
Oh yeah. And then,
you didn't go with him?
No.
You're supposed to chaperone him.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I was within 13 minutes of him. All right. And so I felt that was close enough.
You were doing your research on the fake history.
I was. And, we got a couple episodes out and learned some interesting things. Truthfully, Northern Michigan University, their indoor dome,
mm-hmm.
the Superior Dome, right on the shores of Lake Superior, is the largest all wooden dome in the world.
Okay.
It's a fantastic, fascinating structure, I should say. I got a chance to peek inside of it briefly while I was there too, but yeah, really, really cool. So
sweet.
Okay.
All right. Tonight's topic.
Hey, yeah. Wait, fantastic. We want to welcome our friend Nick. Thanks for hanging out with us.
Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Nick is one of these guys in our Greater Goshen community that I first of all, and I truthfully mean this, I really admire. I like his heart for our community. I like the way he invests. He is both a dude and a dad. He wears several hats. I think that's fair to say several, which also intrigues me about Nick. We enjoy the multi in this room. We enjoy the multi hat wearing. I think that's kind of the way we go about things. And, so I just, as I said, this is always my excuse to get my friends at a table together and have conversations. Yet again, we've been successful at that. So I'm looking forward to it. So Nick, the first thing we just want to start off with is, we like to talk about the dad stats, and that's really everything that you want to tell us about your family that is fit to put on the internet and to stay there. No pressure.
Right.
No pressure.
And if
Molly calls and like, listen, you got to take that down, then we can redact it at a later time, right. I suppose.
No, good. Yeah. So my wife, Molly, married her in 2008.
Mm.
Two kids. Max is 13 going on 30.
Attaboy, Max.
And Caroline's 11 going on 30 as well.
Sweet
so,
Caroline.
Like, those are the fun ages, right? That's what they tell us.
Super
you know what I'm talking about.
It's super fun.
I don't have any gray hair yet, I don't think.
You're doing well.
I'm doing all right. But just chasing them around, sixth grade, seventh grade, doing the, you know, taxiing, all that kind of fun stuff.
That stuff, mm-hmm. man. Oh my gosh. My eldest is getting close to driving age now, and I will say, because the taxing thing has become...
Every which direction.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it is really nice. I've got two now that drive. One that's at college, but one that's still in high school.
Yes.
And it's so nice to be able to say, just go take your sister.
Eli, go take,
yeah. Yeah, take
go,
your sister.
Go take them. That's great. I'm looking forward to that. You, So I'm this is the other part I'm curious about your work you work at the Goshen, Chamber, President CEO at Goshen Chamber, which I think there's, I know before I got kind of deeper into the local business world, I don't know what idea I had of Chamber of Commerce.
Most
or
people
whatever.
Don't have an idea.
Yeah. Yeah. But it was very like murky and murky to me. And so I want to talk about like the work you do at the Chamber, but then also, you know, you married into a family farm enterprise.
Yes.
And I see you doing what seems like various random things around that work.
Yeah, they don't let me touch the big tractors.
Okay,
small tractors. I can handle the small tractors retail, and then that's
small tractor retail. Okay, small tractor retail professional. Yeah. We want to talk about that. And yeah,
is that on your business card?
small tractors only.
Yeah, I have small. It's like you get the forklift certification, right.
It should be on.
So let's start off with the chamber.
Yeah.
Tell us number one, because after you tell us what you do with the chamber, then I'm going to go backwards and I'm going to ask, what did you think that you would be doing at this phase of your life or how you got here? But tell us about the chamber. What is a chamber of commerce in general? Do they all kind of have a general function and a goal that they are looking to achieve in their communities? Right. And then, what does that mean? What does that mean for the most of us? Because I feel like we all benefit from them in some way. Maybe we just don't know it.
Sometimes you don't know. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So chambers are, in a nutshell, they're supposed to be a resource center, right? So we're a membership organization. Businesses invest in us. I work on their behalf. But we're supposed to be there to provide whatever a business any size needs, right? So it's a very chameleon-based organization. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of stuff, a lot of different things. We try to focus down onto four main topics where we advocate, connect, develop, and inform. Those are our four kind of a core areas of work. And I could go on and on about what all those mean, but that's when somebody calls and says, "Hey, Nick, I'm thinking about starting a business. What do I need to do?" Or I have a business and I'm having some trouble getting my widgets out the door. Right. So like those are the things where every day is different and I take a call and go to work and work on their behalf.
Do you kind of feel like you're a little bit of like a business development counselor?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I try not, I mean, I don't get in the weeds of too much in-depth counseling, mm-hmm, yeah. but yeah, in that sense of a trusted voice of where to go, what maybe processes, right? If they're dealing with the city on, on issues to help them kind of walk through there. We've had people that had needed some government help. So I have great relationships with our local, state, and federal officials and kind of can point them in the right direction for that too.
That's awesome. And I think there's, especially we always talk about kind of young entrepreneurs, people that are just starting out.
Yeah.
We've had a few of them here into this studio as well. And, you know, I can only imagine, particularly if you're your first go around business starting out there, it can feel like there's a ton of, and maybe there are a ton of hoops to jump through to make that happen. I would imagine it's a fair amount of work on your end to kind of just stay up to date and current with all of that. Like, what is that process?
Yeah. Don't ask me tax code, law. Right. But knowing who to point them in the right direction. So kind of the upkeep part of it is knowing people in the community, knowing other business leaders in the community that could help. So if somebody says, "Hey, I am having issues on taxes and who do I call?" Well, yeah. I have a list of people that are, you know, just vetted folks that I can lean on for help and provide that guidance for them.
Yeah. That's nice. That's nice. How in the world did you even come to the chamber? How did this come?
Because I should have a dreamy voice.
In full disclosure, Nick just told me when I asked him about this, I was like, what was your course to the chamber? And he's like, "I needed a job." And I'm like, well, that is
that's legit what I needed.
That feels like how many of us come to places, I guess. But
you don't go to college and become a chamber director, right? So we're nonprofit, you know, management, right? That's the closest thing to it. But I met my wife in Fort Wayne. She got a job back here in her hometown and, like you said, owns part of Kircher's Orchard. And so I couldn't move a 300-acre farm. So I needed a job and I applied everywhere. It was the summer of 07 and, it was right as things were getting kind of weird. And, the chamber was looking for a business development director. And so I hopped in on that, with my background, but, that was fall of 07. I never unpacked my boxes because I knew it was just a crazy time at that point with the recession, everything that hit. And, but I'm still here. Mm-hmm, they haven't gotten rid of me yet.
Well, good. That's good. Cause you have a job.
Yeah, and let's be clear. We want to keep it that way.
Yeah, no.
So, yeah.
But yeah, I was, on staff for 10 years and in 2017 took over as the CEO.
Okay.
Time really flies. I don't know. It flies
in our industry. Yeah. It's a very long time too. Yeah. I mean, chamber directors tend, you know, it's like a 4 to 5 year cycle. I love the community. I love being here and plan to be here for a while.
What? I have a general, sometimes when I try to explain to people, and it just feels like so like Midwestern hokey when I talk about like why I love living in the town that I love living. Like for you, what is it about Goshen in this area that's like really felt like home?
Yeah, my job, I get to talk to a lot of people, but you get to know them on a personal level. Mm-hmm. And so the close knit part of part of it, I think is what really, draws me in. My family still lives in Fort Wayne. I'm an hour away. I go down and have dinner with my dad during the week. It's an easy drive. I that kind of thing. So you're still close enough to a lot of the bigger amenities that, you know, you kind of want, but that small town, you know, hometown feel is you can't beat.
I suppose too, like you said, you get to know all of the people in your job, right? Yeah. I mean, all of the business owners from around the area, you get to know, and you get to kind of invest in them and in their business, their operations.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a cheerleader in a sense. I want to see everybody succeed. Mm-hmm. I want to see everybody do good. And so, you know, whether you run into each other at a basketball game or, you know, at the coffee shop, it's just one of those things where you're just always, hearing what's going on and promoting it.
And I'm good. Nick, I'm going to assume that your children are much like mine and that when you're out in public, they are constantly concerned that you're never going to get out of a place on time
because absolutely.
You are going to run into somebody.
But same thing with you though, Joel.
Yeah, it's right? The same deal.
It is the same thing. The other part of it that's awesome is when you know a lot of people, they can't go anywhere without eyes on them. And they know dad has eyes on them wherever they go. So they're terrified going out in public.
That's good.
As they should be.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
And I like it too, because if my kids are hanging out with his kids, I just know that yet again, it's like, I can just say to Matthew, listen, just be aware that people are watching.
People know.
People know.
Yeah.
People, they're looking for Max and they're looking for you. That's good. So if we go way back, Nick, to young Nick, still in school, thinking about what his future is going to be, what he's interested in, like what was going through your head way back then?
I was going to go into the sports field, sports management, sports marketing was where I really thought I was going to spend my career at. So in college, ended up being had the opportunity to be a grad assistant for PFW in Fort Wayne, athletic department, working there. Thought that's where my track was going. Got a phone call, said, hey, we want to hire you. Great. About 2 weeks later, got a phone call saying, hey, they pulled your budget and we don't have you on staff anymore. Ooh. And I was like, oh. And so at that time it was, I could go back and do the grad assistant and grind it for another 3 years and somewhere else and try to carve my path or do something else. And so I shifted. My dad had a construction company in Fort Wayne. And so I went back to helping run that with him. And that's when I met my wife and I ended up at the chamber. So like never, you know, I've done a lot of different things, spent probably 12 years in construction with my dad. I mean, that's how it got through college and, thought that's where I was going to be too. So, I'm kind of just one of those people that you never know where a door will take you. And so
you've already mentioned your dad a lot. It's always interesting to talk about the people that have kind of shaped us and formed us to this, you know, I don't know, like you, how you feel about this stage in our life. I feel like I am becoming more and more like my father. Surprisingly, like I am waking up.
I don't know if I'm as grouchy as my dad. Okay,
and I would say the same. But like, I'm maybe reaching a level of, I don't know, self-awareness now where it's like, there's things I will do every once in a while. And I'm like, doggone it. That's not like, that's like, not
it
my
clicks name. Like, yeah, oh, I heard that before.
That's exactly right. That's that right.
Say it to your kids. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thinking about the people that kind of, but and certainly it could be your dad, any people that really formed you, that kind of have stuck out, kind of throughout your career, developing you kind of into the person that you are today in terms of business and even your own parenting, even kind of your own vision for those sort of things. Who comes to mind?
Yeah, absolutely. My parents lean on them a lot. My dad, construction worker his whole life, hard worker, kind of taught us and instilled in that of like, you want something, go work for it, figure it out. Right. Yeah. So that's from early on kind of going through there. And then the lessons I learned along the way, I mean, he treated everyone from the janitor to the CEO of a company wherever he was working the same.
Yeah.
Right. And so that's stayed with me all these years. You know, in the athletic department, had several, the athletic director, Mark Pope, and the coaches. I was around some great college coaches that just you learn and pick up things on culture and how to build culture. And I take a lot of that into the chamber, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get a group of businesses to work together to make Goshen better. And so it's a culture thing. And so try to instill some of that in the background. So there's been a lot of people along the way there. And then in the community, you had Vince Turner on a couple weeks ago. Vince was the first guy when I moved to town that took me to lunch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He stopped in at the chamber. He was on the board at that time and was like, "Hey, staff, let's go. We're going to take you to lunch." And so, but there's, I could laundry list of people in town that could do that, that have just really kind of showed me the way of the community a little bit. Cause I was an outsider, right? Yeah. The first couple years, I still got the look tough. Like, "Hey, you're not from here." But, I think I'm from here now. I think made that transition, but yeah, there's just every phase of my career, there's been a handful of people that have really poured into me. And so now, I mean, I am getting old. I'm trying to do that, right? Yeah. Trying to figure that part out and where I can do that.
Yeah. How old's your dad now?
He's 74.
Okay. So just a little bit older than my own and close to your dad's age. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at this, I look at a generation of men that very like the kind of the stick-to-itiveness, the overcome, figure out, ingenuity, that sort of thing. How do you feel like those kind of because in business that's a characteristic. Like if you're going to succeed, because a lot of businesses don't succeed, right? Like they just,
statistically. It's,
And they might have a great idea behind them, or they might have a number of things that seem to align up, but they don't. And I look at some of these business folks and the level of tenacity and stick-to-itiveness that they have.
Top two words I tell anybody.
Yeah.
You have to stick through it. You have to stick to your plan. You have to develop your plan, but stick to it and get there. And it's the tenacity of it too. Is like, if you believe that much in your, whatever you're doing, what the product you're trying to sell, the business, restaurant, you're trying to sell, whatever it is, it'll catch on and that'll build your customer base and keep you going. So yeah, those, it sounds simple characteristics, but those are the ones that really help drive it. You know, my dad started his company, literally out of our garage. And it was like, woke up in the morning and said, "I'm doing this." And we did it and we figured it out on the way. And there was a whole lot of things we didn't know and figured out. But, so that's carried into what I do now and working with, businesses. We have some great business counselors that I've been able to kind of pick their brain over the years. And then being a part of my wife's business, right? Yeah. Farming's a whole nother, that's a whole nother show, but that's a realm where, you just start, every day is different and you never know what happens. And my father-in-law and how he goes about running that operation, it's fascinating.
Yeah. I was having a conversation with this was one of these like great conversations you hope to have with your father when you're, I don't know, in the Northwoods somewhere.
Keep being what was, not a babysitter. What was the word you used?
Chaperone. There we go. I don't think it's disrespectful.
No.
I hope not.
I sue for your sake.
My dad also doesn't listen to my show.
I was going
to
say, is dad watching?
Not that I'm upset.
Oh, wait, there he is in the chat.
There we go. Perfect. Hi.
Just kidding.
My dad wouldn't know how to enter a chat to save his life.
Grandma Carla does.
But his mom does, which is funny now that you mentioned that. Conversation I had with my dad about my grandfather, my mom's dad, basically one day decided that he was going to launch his own dog food company. And so goes and they, and this is, he's, and I have to imagine, so he was out of Battle Creek and I don't think I'm making this up, but like, Battle Creek is known as the cereal city, and it feels like the distance between cereal and dog food probably is not like not as much. Far as we would like it to be. Maybe I don't know.
I could make a call. My good friend runs the chamber up in Battle Creek. Like we could.
There we go. Is there a connection? But the dude went door to door and sold dog food to the point so this is the great. I want to be able to tell this story because now I got an avenue to do it. So. To the point where he in the local market was giving Purina a real run for its money, like was like cutting into their market share a fair degree. Right. And you just have to know, like my grandfather, born so that he was just a little bit too young to be drafted into World War II, but they were trying to keep farmers at their farms during that time. And then, you know, and one of those deals was like, you know, FFA and high school guy and like, you know, graduated high school, got married, had three kids, took over the family farm, was working another manager job in a factory somewhere. And then eventually, you know what, started his own dog food line and built this. Cuts into Purina's business. One day he gets a call from two Purina execs and they want to take him out. They take him out to this real, like this real fancy, like dinner place in Battle Creek, wherever it was. And you have to know my grandfather who's passed a number of years ago. I see it now, the genius that he had. He's somebody that you would just underestimate because the way he would present himself, whatever, you just thought the dude had like just not both oars in the water, right, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so he comes in and because he told the story to my dad too. He comes in and he's wearing like in a nice restaurant, he's wearing a ball cap, like cocked to the side slightly, just a little bit off kilter, like whatever. And they're like, Floyd, we're just trying to understand like how did you do this? Mm-hmm. Like, how have you built this business just doing door to door sales? And he gets real quiet and he to know my grandfather, I'm like, I can totally see him doing this. Just sets the scene, looks around real, like he's telling a secret and then leans over to him and then just goes, hard work. And
that sums it up.
And that's it. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, and I just, I think like even when we're talking, you know, chamber and whatever, the folks that I see with our Goshen chamber, so many of them are models of just they get after it.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the unsung thing that I don't know if we talk enough about, especially when we're talking about young people towards success.
And it's not just in the business. Right. It's in the community. It's on other boards. Mm-hmm. It's everywhere. And so they get after it, but they're spreading their tentacles into many different avenues. And it gets to that point of how'd you do it? It's hard work. You're being out there, you're doing those things. And I don't think you could put a price on that part of it, but that's when you're trying to sustain and build, you just have to be visible. And nobody's going to do it. Like nobody does it as best as you are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You have to learn to delegate and have staff and do those things, but it's still your baby. It's still your business. You got to put the work in it to go. And sometimes, some young entrepreneurs, not even young entrepreneurs, just an entrepreneur who's starting out doesn't really get that part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, they have an idea, but they don't know that they have to put in the 90 to 100 hours a week and, you know, those type of situations.
Do you feel like you're concerned for our young people to have that kind of skill? Without sounding like a grouchy old man,
I'm gonna say no.
Okay,
I don't.
All right.
And it's partly for the fact that, like I said, we work with the Indiana Small Business Development Center. They are our business counselors. They're in our office twice a week. Their clients come in. I get a report. They met with somebody. That's all it says. Mm-hmm. But I can tell the age group, right? Okay. I can see when they walk in, I'm like, oh, they're kind of on the younger than me side of things. Yep. And so there's still that hunger out there to do it. And I don't think that'll change. People That's awesome. Always want to find something, you know, especially if they have an idea to really make it their own and do it. And that's the drive.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and I think Joel, young people, I think we underestimate them.
Yeah.
Because I think if you have that idea and that great opportunity, you're going to go make that work. I mean, I just take, For instance, our friend Hope, who was sitting across the table from us a few episodes ago, like Hope is out there doing coffee in Goshen and she's made it work. She learned a lot. I mean, she didn't know
you're gonna stumble.
To begin with, but she surrounded herself with other great business people to learn and who have been her mentors.
That's a great example. Yeah, I think, and I would say this, like even a good example would be the chamber's final end of year meeting. Number one, the place was packed, which was super exciting.
It was awesome. It was the most people we've ever had.
And I think it was a real reminder of like, oh, look at who we have here that are, that's investing in this. And then the, the level of young people that were represented there and some of those things, which I want to get to. Andy, you've got something.
I do. So our production assistant, Marky Mark. Has told me that dry dog food and human breakfast cereal are remarkably similar.
There we go.
In their manufacturing process, often sharing roughly 30 to 70% of the same carbohydrates and grain ingredients. Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
So it makes sense, right? Makes sense. Okay. All right. There you go. I wasn't off.
Thank you, Mark.
Gosh, that's why one of the many reasons we've got that cat around.
We're talking about dogs here, and you said that cat around.
That cat around. my dog.
Wrong analogy.
Yeah. I think it's just, but I was just thinking in terms of what a great reminder that we do have, JJ Du Bois, for instance, business classes at the high school, things like this, would you meet with those students regularly too?
Friday morning class with them, 8:30 to 10 o'clock every Friday.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And we try to take them to all types of businesses, get them to know the business people, but have the business leaders tell their story, right? Yeah. How they get there, what their career path looked like, all the different things. You think like an hour and a half with high school students, early in the morning, that conversation, but man, they come in and they're firing questions away want to know the hows and the what's and the why. Why do you do this? Why you do it this way? And so it's just, that's the part where I'm like, no, I think we're good. Like there are kids that have that just itch of trying to figure things out or do something better. And I think that's what business is, the innovation.
And I think the reason that kids sometimes get the bad rap is because a lot of them see the influencers and the TikTokers and things that they think it's easy money. But I really think that a lot of them are the opposite. They know that that's not easy money, but also that they don't want to do that. They want to sell. They want to do something that's actually going to be work.
I got to watch. My daughter's 11 and she'll come up to me with some ideas that she wants to do at the farm. I'm like, I'm terrified of what she's going to be like in high school because she's like, Dad, I could do this and I could make this much money. And I'm
idea,
like, whoa.
Yeah. Idea factory. Yeah. Man. Well, and yeah, it's just a good reminder that if we're looking in the right places, that we can find young people that are, because the common joke is, and I know I've made it too, it's like, who's going to be running these businesses in a few, a few years.
I'm call them old timers, but because they're not here, but some of the old timers when I got here would say the same thing. So you're like, oh, Nick, like I do something early on and they're like, oh,
yeah,
you're just too young. And I'm like, give me some time. I think that's just a normal thing, to kind of process to go through. But, yeah, I think there's some good things on the horizon.
And that's really, really encouraging. When you think about your own kids right now, because you just sort of mentioned like even helping shape kind of what they might want to go to, career direction, or just developing kind of gift skills and abilities, like how have you and Molly talked about that? I think your kids are kind of uniquely surrounded kind of by this. It is a, this kind of entrepreneur business world, right?
They work the farm. They're out there working with us. We try to, we take the approach of like, they're still at that age of, Max still thinks he's going to, go play college baseball somewhere.
Attaboy, Max.
Right? I'm gonna let him go ride that and try to provide the way to do it and show him what it is. Caroline's the same way. Right. And so you try to let them have that part of it. But I think, they're involved in 4-H, they're involved in the farm. And so they know what work is, 4-H, we do pigs, right?
So, yeah.
6 o'clock every morning from mid March until the fair.
We did that last year.
It's fun, isn't it?
Dairy feeders are our thing.
Dairy feeder. We like to say you learn a lot in the barn, right? Yes, there's a lot of colorful things you learn in the barn, but they have that in them. And so, to see them out seriously and, early part of June after school gets out at 6 o'clock doing their chores in the morning, one way or the other, regardless of what they do, they're going to be all right. Right. Yeah. And I think that's the most important part.
Right. Yeah. There's definitely, this is not a business thing, but there is definitely you can transfer skills into that. But 4-H itself has taught, I know my kids just like work ethic like crazy. Like you were saying, they're out there and they may be complaining and doing it, but they're out there doing it. And then at the end of the fair, like there's tears because their project is done.
Nick, what do you think about kind of both kind of your leadership the chamber, you think about the farm, you know, owning, running, sustaining, growing business. Has your view of business changed any? Have there been things that you know, your approaches to things have shifted, or you kind of realize like, oh, I thought this thing and now I realize it's this? Like what is maybe most changed?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, right? I deal with small business up into the manufacturing side. So I see there's a lot of principles that remain the same. There's some political things that come into play, you know, larger businesses, different things, and that's different. And I've had to learn to kind of navigate those over the years. But the basic of, you know, business, it's, you know, hard work. We've talked about that. It's treating people right, you know, in a lot of different ways. And that's a major part of it. Those things are consistent across the board. And so, and I think we as people know the businesses that are doing it right when it feels right when you're in there. And so I think that's the bigger part of all that.
Yeah. 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 In a day where it feels like we're always looking for like, I don't know, the quick fix or the easy way forward. It is a refreshing thing to just to know that there are some timeless things, some timeless principles and values and efforts, that just help you, you know, rise to the top, especially in this. I think about in terms of like employee treatment, for instance, experience, like things like glass ceiling and things like that. Now where employees have even a far greater bandwidth and exposure level to talk about their experience in working for companies, right? What went well, what didn't. I'll tell you, I've read some of this stuff and it's like, clearly we're not holding back.
No, right. The chat anymore. Groups are interesting these days. Yeah. That's another tool to hold businesses accountable. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think over the years you've had to shift, you've had to have those conversations, and it just, you know, it makes you rise to that level. I think as an individual, from a leader standpoint, from an owner standpoint, is like, you have to put your best foot forward, or here are the things that could go wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Deep philosophical question. Oh man, you,
I struggle with these.
Well, when you think about
especially
it,
especially right? at 9:30 at night.
Yeah. Right. This time of night. What's getting you up in the morning right now? What do you feel?
Roosters.
Yeah. Well, okay.
4:45 in the morning, man.
Golly.
Yeah. I said at the beginning, my day is never the same, right? Mm-hmm. I have some routine stuff, that monthly things, weekly meetings, whatever, those are there. But somebody could walk into my office at 9:00 in the morning and, Nick, I got this problem. What do I do? Mm-hmm. It could close my business. It could cancel this deal. And I get to go into like work mode, like, here we go. Like, let me figure this out. And I'm not saying I'm a wizard or a genius, but I can put people, and point them in the right direction to other people, other experts that can get them the answers they need. And that's the fun part. And I think that's what drives me and keeps me coming back. The people are great. The opportunities to help and be a part of, you know, the business community. That's the icing on the cake.
Yeah. It sounds to me like you're overall just general helper. Like that's who you are as a person.
Yeah.
And so for you, it's gotta be great because it's not necessarily your business that you're working with, but you get to help people take their business and do the things that they're looking to do without necessarily having to do it on your own, business.
It's a hard thing. You let off and said, you don't know what a chamber is. And sometimes we don't know what a chamber does. Mm-hmm. There's projects where like behind the scenes, I've put hours and weeks into helping. And it's like, nobody will ever know me and the owner or whoever I'm working with will, but it's like, and that's okay. That's not something that we need to do, but that's part of what we are. And so that's being that, again, that business resource, that person or that organization that can really help and help you succeed is what we try to do.
So if any of our listeners are young entrepreneurs and business people, how's the best way that they can be part of the Chamber of Conroe?
Yeah, there's a lot of different connection points. You don't necessarily have to be a member. We have, especially if you're on the young side, we have we call it GEL, Goshen's Emerging Leaders.
Okay.
And it's our young professional group. So it's 19 to 40 year olds. they get together for some networking things. They also do like professional development series. They do some community service parts as well. That's a great place to get in. You're getting some other young community minded people that are there. But the chamber, just call me, stop in at the office, and then having a conversation over coffee or, mm-hmm. In our office and just kind of seeing where I can or who I can connect you to and point you in the direction that's as simple as it can be.
Awesome.
Another personal question for you, Nick, because Nick, much like myself, we're always our kids think we talk for a living. That's what yeah. we do.
That's what we do. That's pretty much.
Has that been a developed skill for you, or do you think that's just God given? Lightning struck you one day, and you're just have the natural ability just to strike up convo.
Well, my mom always said I had no shame, and I think that's where it started, right? And you can kind of go through that, but I was always kind of an inquisitive kid, always mm-hmm. ask questions. It never hurts to ask questions, and my parents were like, "What's the worst they could tell you? No,
mm-hmm. yeah,
yeah, you're right." So yeah. like. Over my career and where I'm at now, I've done some pretty cool things just because I asked a question, right? Yep. And ended up in some really amazing opportunities that had I not just said, "Hey, how do you do that?"
Mm-hmm.
Or what mm-hmm. is how show me what this and next thing you know, I'm sitting on the bench at Notre Dame, with the basketball team. Like there's just been crazy things all the way, but it's. Yes, I'm a talker. I'm not going to do that, but I went to school. I got my master's degree in communications and spent some time studying interpersonal communication. I had some awesome professors I still talk to today when I need some resources and kind of go that route. And it's yes and both.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or
that's
both
good.
And.
Yeah, which seems to be, I think sometimes we want to believe that all things are just natural, like they just happen naturally. And some people are just really fortunate that they got the right DNA or whatever. What I have noticed is that really what it is the combination of people that have a natural ability that are just completely unsatisfied with the natural ability mm-hmm. that they have. And they're just like, yeah, this is great. But like, I'm going to put the full amount of,
yeah.
mm-hmm. of work into mm-hmm. it to refine it.
Yeah.
Nick, when you think about, who's like, kind of who's in your ear right now in terms of business, like business leader development thinkers, people that are kind of like shaping your mind. And maybe these are, or maybe these are like some of the old classics.
Oh, yeah.
I have people that I'm like, things I go back to from years and years ago that continue to kind of challenge my thinking, my leadership and all of that. Who's been on your playlist recently? Maybe we can start mm-hmm. there.
Yeah. So that's a tough question because I don't read a lot.
the secret's out.
I listen to folks and like I said, I've tried to seek out people over my career that I can still mm-hmm. call today and go, hey,
yeah.
like this is, I'm running through this. And then even in the chamber work, right? So I've served on the U.S. Chamber's National Board of Trustees. I have chamber peers all over the country. I have an email list of like 50 chamber directors that if something comes up in Goshen, first thing I do is fire yep. off an email to them and say, hey, we're experiencing this. Anybody have anything close to that? Mm. And I get responses and resources. And so it's just that constant talking to people and yeah. kind of keeping them close. My dad's probably from a business side has shaped me the most, but never burn a bridge. Right. And mm-hmm. so always be able to call somebody that you had experience with in the past and see how they did something or why it was done this way. Mm-hmm. And, I think those are always important things to say. There's good stuff. Like you can find, I do read, I'm not going to go that far, but, I read a lot for work. So like getting home yeah. and trying to read isn't just not,
I'm sure.
But there's a lot of leadership styles, leadership stuff mm-hmm. that you can really put into, but I've always, kind of operated too of like, I got to do it too, right? I got to mm-hmm. put the effort into mm-hmm. it. It's not beneath me to take the trash out, right? So mm-hmm. you still take the trash out in the chamber, clean up, those type of things where I think that just develops you over time.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, Andy.
Is it that time?
It is that time.
Oh, are you kidding me?
And now it's time for the Dudes and Dads Pop Quiz.
Oh, so, man, I'm scared.
This is a time, if you've never joined us, that Joel and I and Mark. Mark gets to be in part of this too.
He's queuing up. Hopefully his wheels have been turning this whole time.
We just ask a random question, and then it doesn't usually even have to do with the topic, just to get to know you better.
Okay. Yeah, is this like rapid fire? Like, oh, I gotta go
and
hurry
back and
as
forth.
Quick as you can. All right. As quick as you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Marky Mark, do you have the first question?
I have a lot of questions.
Oh, attaboy. Okay. Mark, you get to go first then.
Okay. Are you ready?
Sure.
Hey, if you had to replace your hands with kitchen utensils, which two would you choose and why?
Knife and tongs.
Tongs.
Wow.
A true griller over here.
Yeah. I had some really good steaks tonight. But yeah, a knife I got to cut and dice my things, and tongs, I got to be able to move things around.
That's the right answer. Okay. That's the right answer for sure.
If you needed to, you could like kill animals with your knife and then, it'd be great.
Nice.
Well, modified Edward Scissorhands.
Right? Yeah. This is a question that we ask a lot. I think it's telling. If there were a sandwich named the Nick Kiefer, what's on that sandwich?
Oh, if you asked me this a year ago, I'd have a different answer.
Oh, okay. Doctors
told me I had to be good. And so sandwiches are out. I am a Reuben guy. A good Reuben. Mm. Can't beat that.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what.
Next time I have a Reuben, I'm going to think of it.
Yeah. Sorry.
This is the Nick. You know? Nick, if you had to delete all but one app on your smartphone, what would you keep? And I'm not talking like the phone app and things like that. Like a downloaded app.
Spotify. I got to have music. Okay. I listen to a lot of music.
Oh, well now. Okay.
Fun fact. I'm in charge of entertainment at the fair this year.
Yes, you are.
Yeah. Yeah. And that has been.
Please tell me you get to pick up Ludacris.
I don't know yet. But
please.
I know I get to meet him.
My wife and I, here, true story, because our kids are getting so sick of it, just randomly throughout the day, we'll just suddenly yell out, Boots with the fur! And my kids don't understand it, and it's fine. We think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Luda.
Yeah. So music. Music's big.
Music's good. Well, you know what? We'll just piggyback off of that. If you could meet one music artist, dead or alive, who would it be?
One music artist, dead or alive. Can it be a group?
Because sure.
Yeah.
Beatles, by far.
Okay.
All right. That's like,
are dead, some are alive.
What's your favorite Beatles song?
Which is favorite kid?
Right.
Yeah. kinda is. No. Blackbird.
Okay.
Okay.
Took me too long, but yeah.
There's a lot to choose from there. Yeah. So I'm not gonna
I grew up, my mom was a giant Beatles fan, my dad was a giant Stones fan.
Okay.
And so that's just music all the way around. Took my dad to see the Stones a couple years ago.
Nice. So good.
Yeah.
That was my question.
That was your question?
That was my question.
Okay. Well, then should I come up with another question?
He's got a list back here.
Okay, Mark. Thank you, Mark.
I've got a list. All right. How many chickens do you think it would take to successfully kill a lion?
My wife is watching right now and dying because I hate our chickens in the backyard.
I hope they all die in the
I'm going to say probably at least 100.
Okay. All right, that's a valid answer.
I'm just going to say this. I'm glad that we've unofficially hired him.
We've unleashed a whole new resource to this show that I wasn't even aware of.
We didn't have any near these great questions until then.
This is a different kind of question altogether.
I have one more. I have to ask this one.
Okay.
Okay. If you were a ghost and could only haunt people by doing minor, non-scary inconveniences, what would be your signature move?
Ooh, okay.
Non-scary inconveniences. Probably bump their elbow as they're taking a drink of their coffee.
That would be annoying.
That was good. That'd get me.
All right, I got my last one.
Go for it.
Joel, in a zombie apocalypse, which one of your family members would be the last to survive?
The last one standing of my four, I'd probably say me. Well, no, my wife.
Okay.
There's stories that I can't share on here on live that, she wins.
We're going to ask some questions.
When you see Molly,
once we're off air, Molly, I need to find, now I'm very, very curious.
What's your last one, Joel?
My last one is going to be, I think it's going to be more reflective. I think it's going to be, I don't know, even groundbreaking for this show.
Okay.
Great.
Nick, would you be willing to tell us what the most embarrassing moment of your childhood ever was? Any particular event that really stands out to you to this day?
Oh my gosh. Most embarrassing childhood moment.
And if there's not one, I'd love to hear your most embarrassing professional moment, because that maybe that could be really great too.
I'm drawing a blank. There's a lot to choose from. A lot. I'm pretty sure I shot at the wrong basket in a basketball.
That's the kind of thing we're talking about.
Yeah, that would have been... Yeah, inbound, you know, steal it and you go the wrong direction. And
you're so excited. And you're like, why is no one guarding?
Doesn't happen. Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's like, no, wrong way.
No, don't do it. Fantastic.
Yeah, Well, professionally, I'm not going to do that after we just talked about all the work at the chamber. We'll keep those
secret. That's great. That's great. Good.
Well, Nick, you survived.
Oh.
And passed.
Passed.
Okay. All right. As long as I pass.
Not just survived, but passed.
Yeah.
You know, the they call doctors that get C's in med school.
Doctors.
I pass. I'm not gonna see. I pass.
Yeah. You know what? You know what you call the kind with the lowest GPA in med school? Doctor. Yeah. Yeah. That's true. Well, hey, Nick. Thanks for hanging out with us, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
It's super fun. And yeah, everybody, as always, you can head over to dudesanddads.com. Shows? Other shows? Are you stopping us?
No. Okay. I muted something.
Well, I can't hear us anymore. There, yeah. I can't hear the music at all. I have no idea how far we are into the band. There we go. Okay. Head over to dudesanddads.com.
Amateur hour.
You can check on current episodes, previous episodes.
And you can send us physical mail at P.O. Box 86, Millersburg, Indiana, 46543. Do it. I go there every day and check it, and there's nothing. So
just
I
don't, how many, don't send me a summons. That's all.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
Yes. What?
Andy, this is for you. How many stamps would a person need to send a letter to us?
If this is forever stamps,
I was going to say, I buy forever stamps.
Yeah, buy forever stamps. What is this, 1995? Dudes and Dads podcast at gmail.com is our email address if you want to send us some feedback, show ideas, all that good stuff. We're on the Facebook, we're on the YouTubes, we're on the all the places. Feel free to check us out.
And with Grace, with that,
oh,
Grace.
Wait, Andy.
What?
We wish you grace.
And peace.
Thanks.